Today's Bible reading is from various verses in Ephesians. So Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. Verses 22 to 24. You are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verses 8 to 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord.
Have you noticed that life can be very interesting? You can also have interesting sound. While we were having lunch last Sunday morning, our most recent grandchild was born, Sophia Lucy Keane. So in our family, we've gone from the death of Linda's father to the birth of our youngest grandchild. Life really is interesting, isn't it? You can have the highs and the lows, and they can happen in a very short time. And it reminds you just how we need to be thinking about what life is about. We were watching James Bond on Tuesday, you know, some good wholesome movies that we watch sometimes, and we were watching the movie Time to Die, No Time to Die. It's Daniel Craig's last Bond movie. If you don't know the ending, I won't tell you the ending, hopefully I don't give it away, but right at the end, M, who's the boss of Bond, does this quote about Bond, and he says this, and it's actually a quote from Jack London's book, one of his books, but he's the guy that wrote the book about the wild, the dog one, I can't remember the name of it, but it says this, the call of the wild, I had it in my notes and I couldn't remember it, the proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. And Ecclesiastes kind of reminds us that, you know, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. Psalm 90, one of my favourite parts of the Bible, talks about, it says, you know, for many of us, our time is set as, you know, basically 72 years or something around that kind of age. So there's definite times. Some people live longer, some people live shorter. But the point isn't just to have more years. The point is to do something with the years that we have. And whether we're a young person or an old person, it's to live in such a way as to make a difference in the world. Last time I spoke, we began the series called Sit, Walk, Stand, based on the book there. And we talked about, in Ephesians 3, it talks about our position in God. We begin by understanding we are seated in the heavenly places with God. And that before we do anything, we always have to come back to our seatedness in God. We are human beings, not human doings. And we live in a culture that really, you know, you meet with somebody and they say, what do you do? They really don't ask you, who are you? Now, who at the core of you are you being? We rather think about what people have done. And we have to remember that God has made us foremost as human being. And I finished that sermon by using the illustration of the champagne glasses. Now, you go to a wedding and they stack up the champagne glasses up on that triangle and they start filling up the top champagne glass and it overflows. And that's kind of a symbol of how we should be living our walk in God. We begin with being filled that we might overflow. I remember going to Vietnam. I think it was about 2006 when we were in Vietnam. And just, oh, it's amazing. Who's been to Vietnam? It's a beautiful, beautiful place, particularly like Ha Long Bay up the top, just those amazing islands, hundreds and hundreds of islands just coming up out of the water. And there's just all these beautiful places. But I remember we were in this van with just our family going down this road, and we thought we were going to die. I mean, just, he was just careening down this road. And it's frightening when you're not in control. And you look down the edge and you can just see a long, long way down to the valley below. And occasionally you'd see a vehicle down there just to remind you that Vietnam has a really high death rate from car accidents. It's a dangerous place to be. Remember looking out one time and just seeing the paddy fields, those beautiful green terraces of green, and just the water flowing down and moving nutrients further and further down. And really, it's a beautiful symbol what it means to be in God. That the water simply flows down the terraces, moving the nutrients from one tier to the next, to the next. And that if the tears dry out, the rice dies. So we've got to keep the water flowing. In Ephesians, in the ones that Lisa rang out, a lot of verses, so thank you for doing that. It has the word live multiple times through it. But that word live is the same Greek word used for the word walk. So in some translations, when you read this in the Bible, it says walk, walk, walk. In the NIV, which is the one I normally use, it says live. But they bring two ideas in mind, that Christianity is not just about sitting, although it's based in sitting. We have to move from sitting into living it out in the world. And living it out means moving and progressing and moving forward. And so we've got to take our faith into the world. We are constantly reminded that we are part of the kingdom going into the world. You've heard that before, you know, the kingdom of hell shall not prevail against the armies of the Lord. It's not that we are hunkered down in a fortress being protected. It is that God is going against the gates of hell. We are a progressing people, not a people who are hiding and trying to protect ourselves. We are meant to be people living out the kingdom in amongst the world in which we live. And when we're living out the kingdom, it doesn't mean that we have everything perfect in our lives. It simply means that we get to take the hope of glory that we have. When we talk to each other about the struggles, when we talk to our fellow friends out in the community, we are able to say, I have a hope. Not only that life, you know, has meaning to it, but that God is using me as part of that meaning, and that God can bring something through me. So walking is really the practical outworking of our heavenly position. Live out in the world. Our position influences our conduct. If you read really Matthew 5 to 7, Matthew 5 to 7 is really the rules of the kingdom of God. It's interesting that Jesus told us those rules before he went to heaven. He said, this is the way the kingdom ought to be lived. But it wasn't really until he came back through the Holy Spirit that we are empowered to live that way. And if you read through Matthew 5 to 7, it talks about all sorts of things. It talks about the fact that we shouldn't curse, that we should forgive, that we should have good marriage relationships, that we should keep our promises. So it covers all of these areas of life. And it says we need to be the people taking these attitudes out into the world in which we live. Now it's interesting that the way we walk is different than the ways of the world. The world says, go find a book, go to a course, go find something that can make you better and take that to other people. But Jesus doesn't actually say that. He says, be transformed by the Spirit of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but it begins with the Spirit of God in us. I remember going to, when I was getting into running, I went to Stromlo as my first long event. It's a 12-hour event. You started, I think, at 6 o'clock and went through that 6 o'clock the next morning. And it was a 1 kilometre loop, and you just went round and round and round. And I'm a runner, and I discovered that people who walk can go faster than people who run. I got 80 kilometres, but one of the women did 103. She beat me by 23 kilometres by walking, because she was able to, in her walking, to be more consistent throughout the night. Now, I've looked into trying to get a bit faster in my walking. I've got short legs, I can't really walk very fast, but walking is completely different than running. Running, you want your body just going forward, you don't want to move too much of your body. But in proper walking, you've got to swing your hips. You've got to get your hips. It's a completely different action. And I think many of us try to do the Christian life by running. And we do this natural shuffle and we try to move forward. But we have to learn. You see, you don't naturally walk fast. You have to learn the skill of walking fast. You have to learn the skill of moving your hips and getting your elbows going. But the way of walking is to go back to sitting all the time. That's what the Bible says. If you want to walk, you have to keep on going back to sitting in the position in which you are in God. There's a beautiful, in Revelations, it talks about a city called Pergamum. Has anybody been to Pergamum at all? No, it's in the, kind of, if you think about the Mediterranean, you think of like a clock, it's kind of about 2 o'clock. In the Aegean Sea, up kind of on that top kind of corner there. Pergamum is a city on a hill. And in Revelations, it talks about the city on the hill where the altar of Satan is. That's the description it has of it. Now, Pergamum is 300 metres up, and it has no water supply. There's no natural water there. The nearest water is in the valley 300 metres below. Now, they could have, there was a thing called the Archimedes screw. Who knows about the Archimedes screw? It's a way in which you put this kind of, it's a funny, I'll see if I've got it, there we go. It's this funny thing here. And you turn it and you turn it and you turn it and the water moves uphill. So if Pergamum wanted water up 300 metres, they could have used the technology of Archimedes screw. Because they had it in those days. But you imagine the amount of work would have taken. There was another technology they had. Phil, you might have used one of these. Where you get a hose and you want to know the height of something. So you get it over here and you fill it up with water and you get that level right. And wherever that is on the other end, the water becomes level in the two places. So you don't have to do any work to get the water up, because it sits at the same level at both ends. And so what they discovered in Pergamum is that there was a mountain range about 25 kilometres away near the Aegean Sea. And all they had to do, because there was a mountain there about the same height, with it had water, they had to create water tracks from there down through the valley up to Pergamum. And if they kept that enclosed, the water would come down and the gravity would push it in such a way as the water would go back uphill on the other side and the water would level out. Isn't that amazing technology to think that they could, in 200, 300 BC, construct something that would take water from 25 kilometres away and bring the balance up? They knew that to get water, they had to get it from a source that was higher than them. In actual fact, their well was just slightly lower than the mountain because it was so far away. We can think about Christian faith like the Archimedes screw. We are constantly getting the water uphill, working, 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 working. All we can think about the Christian faith is using the power of gravity, sitting in and receiving the Spirit of God that comes in us. One of the hardest things about the Christian faith is that you don't go and forgive people. You have to first be forgiven and experience forgiveness so that you don't have to work to forgive people, so that it's a natural outflowing into others. See, we constantly think we have to forgive people. We constantly think we have to be patient. We constantly think we have to be kind. But what we've got to do is we've got to go to God and receive his forgiveness, receive his patience, receive his kindness. And when we sit in that, in him, we then take that into the world and it overflows out of us. It's one of the hardest things of Christian faith, I think, because we constantly want to do the work. I've been reading a guy called Eugene Peterson a lot lately, and Eugene Peterson talks about going to a monastery in Mexico, and they were moving from where they prayed to where they ate, and you do that kind of three times a day. And he was walking from where they prayed to where they ate, and there was an open grave. And he said to the brother, oh, has one of the brothers died recently? And I'm just thinking that they'd prepared a grave for somebody who just died. And the brother said, no, the grave is for the next one. So nobody had died yet, but they lived with an open grave between their praying and their eating to remind them that soon somebody would die, and the grave was an integral part of their faith. Now, it wasn't just the open grave they were focused about, it was the ultimate grave that they were thinking about. The grave that had been filled and then been emptied again by Christ who had been risen. And so they lived in constant memory of this idea that their faith is based on the one who had died and had been raised to life. And that we need to die in our spiritual lives, in a sense, so that we might be risen with Christ. We live a resurrection life. Kingdom living is about taking the resurrection that's happened in you and taking it to the world. It's not about me working harder. It's the fact that I've died to my patience and I've had to go to Jesus and say, give me your patience, and then taking that as a resurrected life into the world. It's a completely different way. The Bible says this in Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up his cross and follow me. We must die to ourselves to follow him. Finished with this story. There was a Chinese man who had his paddy fields, and he would work hard to get the water up into his paddy field. And he came in one day having filled up his paddy field, and he noticed that the farmer who lived below him had taken the block away and all the water had drained out of his paddy fields and gone down to the next one. So he thought, well, I'm a Christian, I need to forgive people. So he went and he filled up his paddy field again. And this happened day after day. And he went to his church and he said, I have a problem. I keep on filling up my paddy field. He keeps on taking it away and stealing my water. I'm trying to be forgiving to him, but I just can't. And they said, why don't you fill his paddies first and then fill your own? And so he went back and he filled up his paddy first, and then filled up his, and because the man's paddy had been filled, he didn't have to steal from him anymore. And eventually, he actually became a Christian, that particular man. But the thing they were talking about it later on, and he said, you know, I discovered We don't live according to rites in Christianity. You know that Bible verse where it says, if you get struck on one cheek, turn the cheek and be struck on the other? Is it right to be struck on a cheek? No, it's not right. But it's dying to yourself to allow them to strike. Is it right that the farmer had taken the water from his paddy fields? No, but we don't live according to rights, we live according to grace. We keep on going and be reminded that God has forgiven us first, that we might flow into forgiveness of others. Let's pray together. Lord, you are amazing to us that you came as God and gave your life that we might live. And we pray that that would go deeper and deeper into our soul. That we would be people who are not working harder, but who are receiving more from you, and that that overflow is flowing into the lives of those that we live around. Help us to know your grace, and help our world to see that as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.